Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Thank you so much for jumping on the Employee Cycle Podcast. I really appreciate you taking the time, energy, and everything else that you're bringing to the table to share your wisdom and experience around how you're leading your company and your workforce through COVID-19. But before we get started, I would love for you to share some information and background about yourself, including your name, your company, your role, and your location.
Fantastic. I'd be happy to. Thank you, Bruce. So my name is Shannon Ward, and I am the VP of People at Hireology, located in Chicago, Illinois. And so at Hireology, the VP of People role means that I am responsible for admin and facilities for your typical HR generalist type work that you would normally see within an HR function, for talent acquisition, recruiting, and for learning and development.
Awesome. And what is your current headcount?
Currently, we have about 180 employees.
And did you have any employees working remotely prior to COVID stay-at-home orders?
We did. So actually, an interesting fact about Hireology is that our software engineering team has been fully remote since the time that we started the company 10 years ago. And so even though that team has grown to just about 55 people, they are located all over the U.S., and then we have also had a handful of other fully remote employees within our marketing, sales, and product teams as well.
Interesting. So I am curious, as we're talking about how you were leading your team through COVID, I am curious about the dynamic of having so many people who are already working remotely versus people who had to get used to this new normal. Was it possible to leverage some of the best practices and experience from people, primarily your software engineers who had already had experience in working remotely, and then them help all of the people who were new to this?
Absolutely. We were fortunate in that the way that our business is run made making a decision basically overnight to go fully remote and impose mandatory work from home for everyone was relatively easy to do because we already had the internal tools and systems set up to enable that. And then on top of that, to your point, because we had this team that was already very used to being fully remote and kind of understanding how to navigate best practices and create culture and manage a fully remote team, we were really able to leverage their experience and their expertise to help the rest of the organization navigate that.
Do you think it also helped in the other way as well, where your team who had not previously worked remote now had more empathy for the people who have been working remote this entire time?
Oh, absolutely. For sure. We definitely have a lot of people, you know, making comments to the effect of, you know, I didn't realize like how I would have to kind of schedule time. There isn't that opportunity to just, you know, drive by someone's office or you know, seat and ask a question. Like everything has to be thought of or planned in advance, or you know, kind of new communication etiquette for like what you say in Slack versus what you email versus what you set a meeting for. So definitely a lot of empathy and learning on that side too.
I like how you pointed out that when you're remote, everything becomes a lot more intentional, and I love the word that you use, more thoughtful. It's so much more thought, and it should be so much more thoughtful, to the point where you start realizing and you start second guessing, should I send this email? Should I send this Slack message? And then all of a sudden, hopefully when you get back to the office, if that's a part of your plan, you realize, you know what? I didn't have to send that anyway, or I could have answered that myself. So hopefully this has all forced everyone to be more thoughtful and empathetic as well. So it's important to note the date, and I believe today is June 12th. Mm-hmm. It's important to have a timestamp so that the world knows where we are today as we're going through this interview. And when they hear your answers to questions, they understand what we're thinking as the world is happening in real time. Mm-hmm. One of the questions that I've been asking different HR leaders on this podcast is one of my previous guests said that early stages of COVID, they moved from a stage of crisis mode to now being in a mode of heightened awareness. So I'm curious, where are you on that spectrum and how would you define the status of your workforce and how you're operating today?
I would say we are probably in that same phase of heightened awareness. We are actively able to think more about the future of the business. And we, at least from our revenue perspective, have seen recovery starting to tick up, which is all positive, enabled us to go from, to your point, crisis or kind of what I call straight triaging mode into moving back into, thinking about the goals, thinking about the future, and able to work towards that more than just, how do we save revenue? How do we think about the problems that our employees are experiencing like right now in this moment? I would also say that we are learning a lot about the nature of work throughout this process. The fact that we were able to go remote so quickly and easily has us absolutely thinking about and questioning, what do we do when the world hopefully sees an eradication of COVID and how will that change? And we've looked at other, tech companies and tech leaders who have said, they are intending to be a much more remote friendly type of company going forward. And I think that we will be in very much the same boat. So we're having those kind of longer term discussions about how do we better support a remote workforce in the longer term and make those guidelines in terms of what roles are remote, what roles aren't remote, how do you continue to ensure that equity and career growth happens when you have a mix of remote and non-remote, but looking into all of those things in the longer term too.
I've been hearing the same sentiments from a lot of HR leaders where they now have to really think deeply about moving to an either fully remote workforce or a much more remote-friendly workforce where people get to pick and choose which days they want to work in the office. But as many people who are loving remote, I don't know if there's just as many, but there's definitely a strong cohort of people who absolutely hate working from home. And maybe some of that is due to them working from home with their kids who are not in school and or daycare. Maybe they never intended to be in the house for as many hours as they are with their partner or their roommates or whoever else they're in the house with. So what have you been thinking and how have you been taking in the feedback of people who want to really get back to the office, if you have any people who have those feelings at all?
Yeah, so we actually, we have surveyed our in-office or kind of our group of employees who normally do come into an office environment each day and ask for their thoughts and kind of want to know, like, that will absolutely help shape how we think about it. And what we saw from our survey was that the vast majority of our in-office employees do want to still be able to have access to the office environment and to the benefits that having, that in-person interaction brings, but they want to have more flexibility going forward. And so I think that's really where we have started thinking about our guidelines and how it will shape things for us is that, we may only ever have between 30 and 40% of our typical, in-office employee groups in the office together at any given point in time going forward, because we will definitely have a lot more flexibility in being able to provide that remote working environment. So whether it's, setting schedules, and this is, again, thinking in the world that's fully post-COVID, because we recognize that there's no way that we're going to be able to have people all in the office together, plus the comfort level of employees and their personal safety is always top of mind. So in a world where COVID is completely gone, I think the ability to still say, hey, you want to work from home every Friday? You want to work from home Monday, Wednesday, and Friday? Or you want to take a week in the office and then a week at home? Like, we will absolutely be able to offer that that flexibility. And that's kind of where we're coming from now, knowing that our employees do like some aspects being able to be in person as well.
assuming this is the biggest crisis and the worst crisis you've ever been through, I mean, I hope that's the case. Then whatever else it could have been must have been really bad. But assuming this is the worst you've ever been through, what have you really learned about your role and the role of HR as you're helping a workforce navigate through this amount of uncertainty?
Yeah, I think what I have learned is that the more transparent you can be with everyone, the better. We have kind of taken the approach that every decision that we've even been thinking about making, we telegraph that to employees and we communicate that out ahead of time. And we are then able to share, this is what we're thinking. Here's why we want you to know. And then when we've made a decision, this is the decision we've made and why we've made it. In a world where we don't have the benefit of all being together in person and being able to, hear these things live, be part of these discussions, in meeting rooms and whatever. I think I've learned that it's really important to communicate and over communicate, and to be really transparent in that, so that everybody really understands and has the ability to ask questions or to kind of come along on that journey of decision making with us as an HR team or with the leaders, et cetera.
So, because it seems as though you've seen a pretty good level of productivity, and I'm assuming that based off of your comment about seriously thinking about having people or allowing people to work remotely. And with that, you can let me know if you've also seen an increase or at the same level of engagement. But if those are true, or even if they're not, where do you go from here?
Yeah. Do you mean from like a productivity perspective, or?
Yeah. In regards to employee engagement, trying to maintain the level of engagement that you have now based off of whatever the future holds of people working from the office or not from the office, and then also productivity to continue to maintain the level of productivity that you have as you're going through all of these changes. And as hopefully we're getting to the tail end of COVID, where do you go from here?
Yeah, I think it's a couple things for us. I think we're actually in the midst of running our pulse engagement survey, kind of the midpoint between when we run the annual survey and engaging a check-in, just kind of on where everyone is. I think more than anything, what I am understanding from every employee at every level in the company, and myself included, that everybody is really... people are pretty tired. And I think given not only COVID, but given what we're all seeing with current events, with the killing of George Floyd and the impact that that has on our Black employees and our communities, people are tired and work is not necessarily the thing that's top of mind for everybody right now. And it's in some cases, it may be a consistent or a stabilizing thing that people feel they can maybe escape to. But I think the recognition of that and the ability to realize that everyone is human at work right now, too, is really important. And how that shapes how we set our company goals, how we communicate with our employees, how we are mindful and empathetic towards each other as colleagues. I think that's really that's maybe a positive thing. And that's hopefully where the future of a lot of other businesses are going as well.
I'm glad you brought up the killing of George Floyd, because on top of all of the stress and anxiety that everyone has been feeling for the past 10, 12 weeks now, from COVID, stay at home, recession, unemployment, all the things that are going on, now we have a lot of emotions, people are really tense, and they're reacting in totally different ways. Again, based off of your racial, ethnic background, based off of how you feel about all these things. So as an HR leader, it's a challenging time to be able to try to care for all your employees. So how have you been navigating that?
Yeah, it is. I'll be honest, not well. It is a hard time to both take care of your employees and to be able to make sure that you're taking care of yourself. And I think that's probably true of anyone, not just even in HR. So one of the things that we've done, a couple things. We have an unlimited paid time off program at the company, which is great. But we also recognize that in a time where there is economic uncertainty, where we are sheltering in place and things are closed, people are not necessarily taking vacation. So we instilled a 1 day a month for mental health that is encouraging and supporting every employee within the company to pick a day each month, the entire time we are experiencing kind of COVID and current events and what's happening in the world, and just take that day off. And so that's one way. The other is, you know, we're constantly adding to a document that we have for wellness resources, and in particular for people's mental health and emotional health. And so we've been sharing that, we've been adding to it, and then we kind of, you know, market it, and especially around, you know, for those who are in our insurance programs, like letting them know that they have access to resources for help with this as well. And then the third way is really just ensuring that we're modeling it from the top down. We recognize that, you know, if your leadership team isn't modeling self-care, then the manager layer won't model self-care, and then your individual contributors won't feel comfortable modeling self-care either. So being very conscientious that the spotlight is really on the leadership team to adopt it from the top down has been another really important piece of it for us too.
And then the last question, because I love how you were talking about self-care. One of the things that's been going around on social media for the past couple of years now has been the term, or the saying rather, you have to put your mask on first. Mm-hmm. And in order for you to be able to take care of others, you have to take care of yourself. And we've been having a huge self-care movement, especially with the increase of usage around apps like Headspace and Calm and other apps to really help you just with your mental health as well, not just your physical health. So it would be awesome to end this interview with learning how have you been practicing self-care, because I hope as you share this, it will help other HR leaders realize that they shouldn't feel guilty to try to focus on taking care of themselves. And it's not taking away from the workforce, because if they're not in a good place, then the workforce is going to suffer anyway. So I'll be curious to know, to end this interview on a positive note, how have you been practicing self-care?
Yeah. So I have a few ways. The first is that I have allowed myself forgiveness. And by that, I mean, you know, I had a lot of guilt at the beginning of quarantine or, you know, sheltering in place and everything that's happening in the world. I felt a lot of guilt for the fact that, you know, I don't have children. I don't even have a pet. And so I didn't really feel like I had permission to step away from work when I felt like I needed to. And so I have been much better about allowing myself, you know, if I want to take an hour and just sit in my kitchen and eat some lunch, like, I'm going to do that. Taking those breaks. The second is to be very honest and candid. I see a therapist, and that helps me to regulate and be able to talk to someone else about what I'm experiencing. And then I would say the third is that I do take my time off. So even though, you know, there are no vacations and we are, you know, conscientious about personal safety and social distancing, I will take a day off here and there when I just want to focus on me for a day and not answer emails and truly disconnect.
Shannon, I would like to say, first of all, thank you so much for being authentic, for being vulnerable, and for being candid. Because if we're going to allow people to forgive themselves, if we're going to allow people to take care of themselves, and if we're going to help people help others, then it first starts with us being open and honest about how we're feeling to give other people the permission to be able to move into the same positive place. So thank you so much for that. And I'm sure you've touched some HR leaders listening and will help them go through this process as they figure out how to take care of themselves through this journey. But in regards to the podcast, I really appreciate you sharing all your wisdom, all your insights and experience through this journey again, since I'm sure it's going to be super helpful. So on behalf of our entire team at Employee Cycle, and for all of the people that are going to be listening to this and learning from you, we hope that you, your family, and your team stay safe and healthy. And we really appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Bruce, and same to you.